Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Right now, we're going to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy, Will McFadden, senior writer and editor for AtlantaFalcons.com. Will, the third and final preseason depth chart has arrived. I saw you posted that earlier today. One thing that stands out to me that I want to pick your brain on here is, what has Jordan Fuller over Xavier Watts right now for that second safety spot?
Yeah, Chris, you know, I think it's probably at this point experience a little bit, mostly, but honestly, like, I expect them, we talk a lot about the front being rotated through. I expect them to rotate pretty heavily at the safety position as well. So, like, it may honestly be a little bit of semantics here. Like, it could purely just be that you got to have somebody at two and you got to have somebody at three. But I would look at the safety position as a four-man deep rotation, depending on the game and the role and what's needed. Because I think DeMarco Helms has a role on this team as well. So whoever is out there on the first snap of week one, I don't think is going to be as telling as what the final snap counts are at the end of that first game, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. And same question about the depth at cornerback. There's a lot of guys that have flashed throughout camp. You got your Lamar Jacksons, your Kobe Bryants, your Natrone Brooks. And then you have a guy like Clark Phillips who hasn't been able to really hit the field. And then they bring in a guy like C.J. Henderson. That's a lot of bodies for not a lot of positions. How do you think that shakes out?
Yeah, it is one of the camp battles that I think I'm the most curious in, with one preseason game left to go. It seemed like early on, Natrone Brooks and Lamar Jackson were really stepping up and taking over those kind of key reserve roles. Natrone Brooks has continued that. You know, he had a pick in the second preseason game. He had another pick in practice yesterday. So he's playing really well right now. On the other side, I think Lamar Jackson kind of had an opposite game of Natrone Brooks. He got targeted a lot. He gave up a lot of passes, which is going to happen. You know, when one guy's shutting him down, you got to go somewhere with the ball. But I don't think he performed as well as he would have liked to. So that does open the door for somebody like C.J. Henderson, who is new but has that high pedigree. And, you know, there's familiarity, I think, with what he's going to be asked to do. Clark Phillips is really the key question mark. And when you're looking at the 53-man roster cuts, like, he is one of the guys, I think, really on the bubble. And what may decide it for him is what he has already shown to this coaching staff. This is a group with Jerry Gray, with Justin Hood, Raheem Morris. You know, they can evaluate defensive backs. What has he shown on tape? They're going to know what the plan is this year, and how do they feel about his ability to translate into that role, because he isn't able right now to show it on the field.
What's the latest on Jalen Walker?
Yeah, you know, I wish that, like, Jalen had been able to be out there in more of these open practices, in, you know, more of the snaps for the preseason game, because when he has been out there, he's looked really solid. It just kind of seems like lately it's been every other day or so. All right, where is he? Did he practice in full team? You know, no, he didn't, things like that. So it seems a groin is the most recent after a minor hamstring. Again, both things are, they're fixable. And when you get them fixed, you know, they may go away, but they also can linger. So I think given the nature of both of these, you're going to really want to take it easy and kind of play it safe with the real games that are about to matter down the pipe. But it stinks, because the way that they've been using James Pierce Jr. in the preseason and having him out there a lot, it would be fun to have Jalen Walker kind of on the other side of him.
Linebacking core, level of concern about depth?
You know, I kind of think that the NFL is a place where you can't have, like, high level depth at every single spot. An inside linebacker is probably one of the places where you can get away with morphing your defense around to have that player fill a little bit more of one role. Caden Ellis is rare, right? The guy who is able to be in there and do a bunch of everything, they don't grow on trees. So to some degree, a lot of defenses have kind of more defined roles, and they may use a safety to be that versatile piece. They may have an edge rusher to kind of, like, all of that is in play, I think, when you consider the depth. And when we look at the individual roles guys can play, I think J.D. Bertrand has actually really fared well as a run defender, at least in practice. I think in the last game was not his best, but I think Josh Woods is a really good special teams player, a high-energy guy on the defense. He's a decent run defender as well. They have had D'Angelo Malone kind of working the edge and the inside. I think there you're talking a little bit more about that Caden Ellis like versatility, at least in a pass rush sense. And then I really do expect just Divine Diablo and Caden Ellis to be playing a ton of snaps for this defense. We know that Jeff Ulbrich historically has not been shy about playing a guy like Foye Luikan like every single snap on defense. So if there's one spot where there may not be a huge rotation, it could be inside linebacker. So for that reason, I'm not as concerned about depth there, because I do like two or three names. And then Troy Anderson, you know, hopefully we'll get back in the mix at some point.
You think there's a chance Braylon Trice doesn't make the 53?
That would shock me. It honestly would. Because I do think that even though he has not had a flashy kind of return to the practice field, he has looked good. You know, in the moments that I've just watched him kind of going through drills, he doesn't look any noticeably different than any of the other guys. And we're talking about somebody who is coming off of a full year, season-long injury. Now, bearing that in mind, I wouldn't expect him to, I'm expecting him to make the 53-man roster. If he does, and if he's playing a little bit, I wouldn't expect him to go gangbusters right out of the gates, just because I do think it takes time to come back from an injury like this. But I'm not worried about Braylon Trice at all, based on what I've seen, and it would surprise me if he did make the 53.
All right, now I think we can all be consensus on this, that the number one area of concern right now is probably, if not definitely, backup offensive line. What's going on there, in your opinion?
Yeah, you know, I've got a kind of 53-man roster prediction coming out Friday, Chris, and beginning to go through that exercise today, and it made me very appreciative that I still have one more practice ahead of me before I have to publish that particular article, because I plan on just lasering in on that second team offensive line, because right now I kind of don't have a very good read on how they might go with this. And that is very different than last year, where I was having a hard time making a couple of cuts. Like, I thought Kyle Hinton and Javon Gwynn were two of the standouts of preseason last year. And this year it's kind of been a little bit opposite. You know, Kyle Hinton has had a couple of penalties. Javon Gwynn now bumping up to second team center. You know, we're seeing, I think, a little bit of the length and size deficiencies come to the fore. That's just really on the interior. I like a guy in Joshua Gray. Who knows if he's sticking on the 53 as an undrafted free agent. You know, maybe you feel comfortable about getting him back on your practice squad. And then you look at tackle. Without Storm Norton, you got Brandon Parker, you got Elijah Wilkinson, two veterans, guys with size. You know, if they do keep players, it would make sense if it were maybe one of those two guys, as just, hey, at least we know we've got a veteran. We've got a bye week in week five. We can figure it out kind of early on if we have to, but here's somebody who has at least seen action. And then you really hope your starters don't force you into that depth mode early. But I could honestly see, Chris, kind of like a lighter group of offensive linemen on that initial 53-man roster, and then a heavy group on your practice squad that they want to get a look at. And maybe you add one or two early on in the season to that roster and you readjust from there.
You think there's any chance Nathan Carter slips past Carlos Washington for RB3?
He made a really good case in that second preseason game. I thought that two of the runs, really, one gets called back, a little bit of a questionable call, IMO. But the second one showed really exactly what the model is, and it's what you're hoping Bijan and Tyler are doing. That is another key spot. It's like Carlos Washington, I thought, was looking really good in camp. before the injury. We've seen what he can do in the past. I think the coaching staff really likes him. I think he's trusted. It would not shock me if at some point Carlos Washington finds himself back in a Falcons uniform if he's not on the 53. And it wouldn't shock me, honestly, if they just keep two running backs on the 53. I think Nathan Carter is making the strongest push. Could he end up on the practice squad? Who knows? But of the three guys, Dotson, Carter, and Corbin, Carter has definitely been the standout.
Same thing about the final couple of receiver spots. It seems like all the speculation, Will, as we're talking with Will McFadden, AtlantaFalcons.com senior writer and editor, has been that it's David Sills and Casey Washington with Chris Blair falling behind.
It feels like that kind of right now, and I have flip-flopped personally. Like, I'll raise my hand. Sometimes my initial take, I get it wrong. I kind of came around a little bit like, all right, David Sills, huh? I need to wrap my head around that because I have been in the Chris Blair kind of camp because of the youth, the physicality. He does offer some stuff. But David Sills, like, the more you watch him, I totally understand where he fits into a version of this offense. And that is clearly something that the Falcons are interested in, given the way that they've used him and kind of the early targets we saw in that second preseason game and what he did with him. So David Sills, you know, has kind of won me over a little bit. Casey Washington, though, has been arguably the standout of training camp, maybe non-James Pierce Jr. category, because he has been the key guy who stepped up in the absence of Darnell Mooney, and he has made the most of that opportunity and then some. His connection with Michael Penix Jr. has really been strong. He's made some tough catches. His separation has been very noticeable. So I think Casey is absolutely a lock. To me, it comes down to David Sills, Chris Blair, and then I wonder about Jamal Agnew as well. He came in as a veteran returner. He just has not been out there on the field as he's been dealing with a little bit of an injury. So we'll see. I'm expecting a couple, like one or two or three shocks on this 53-man roster cutdown. I just don't have a good sense of like where they're going to come from, which is going to make it fun, honestly, Chris.
Raheem Morris continues with his strategy of not playing either quarterback in the preseason, meaning Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix Jr. Are you of the camp that believes that preseason reps are important, or do you think Coach is on the right track with not risking the injury?
Man, do you know how many times I wish I could like answer this question knowing how the first 3 weeks of the season turn out? Because that's kind of what it feels like. If they get off to a rolling start, then it's going to be like, hey, great, you got them here healthy, and it's awesome. If they struggle, then it's going to be an easy thing to point to. I think they've done a great job simulating the moments that are going to matter in games during practice. And I do think that there is a lot of rationale behind keeping your most important guys healthy in and away from environments that you aren't fully in control of. And they are a big believer of in these practice conditions, you can control things to a greater degree and have a relatively higher degree of safety guaranteed for some of these guys. So for that reason, that makes a lot of sense. If you're not going to have a lot of your starters out there, if Drake London's not out there, if Darnell's certainly not out there, your offensive line, then I don't know the value of those reps for Michael Penix and how are they greater than a team session. So those are obviously decisions that every coaching staff evaluates and thinks about. Some go one way, some go the other. And every year, I think you can find examples if you really want to make either side of it. Honestly, it's up to the coaching staff to get these guys ready to go week one. And if they feel that they can do that without having them out there and risking them in preseason games, then I think we'll see when the ball's kicked off at 1 p.m. on Sunday, week one.
All right, before I let you go, I've been asking this of everybody I've been chatting with lately. There's been a couple of practice reports where Michael Penix Jr. has missed a throw or two, being generous, finishing somewhere along the lines of like a 10 for 17. Anything to be concerned about there?
I kind of think it's to be expected a little bit. Like, I don't think it's concerning because I think it comes with a young quarterback who these were some of the nitpicks coming out of the draft, right? It was, yeah, he's got an awesome arm. Sometimes he needs to dial it in on some of these more drive throws. They'll sail a little bit, but I also do think right now I get the sense that he's working through some things. And I would highly recommend, Albert Breer had a great piece today, I think, that went out that kind of noted some plays last season that I had even missed, where it's more the processing speed for Michael Penix Jr. that I think is highly underrated, because we talk about his physical tools. As long as that is going to be at a high enough level, you can live with some of these missed throws that you feel like he shouldn't be making, because that stuff can get fixed over time. It is early. I don't expect him to go out there and be completing 85% of his passes. As long as he's able to hit some explosive plays, move this offense down the field, and string enough of the plays together, he's got a great enough supporting cast. I kind of think that should be the expectation. And if he has a game where he finishes 14 of 28, you know, I'll live with that, because I think the next one he'll bounce back pretty strong.
We'll appreciate the time. As always, we'll be checking you out at AtlantaFalcons.com. We'll talk soon.
Of course, Chris. Anytime.
All right. That is Will McFadden there of AtlantaFalcons.com.